What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Lots going on. Kind of a hazy Thursday morning. Apparently some wildfire smoke blowing into our area. It was an interesting sunset in my neck of the woods yesterday, Joe Rex Road. Sun was basically like totally red. It was weird.
Is that okay? So that's why my weather app said,
air quality warning.
Yeah, air quality warning for sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay. I wondered about that.
I was looking to ask you about that. Well, I was looking around yesterday, and I was like, man, it's kind of smoky around here. What's going on? And then I did a little digging. Apparently, that's what it is.
All right.
So, apparently, that's happening again today. So, if you see it hazy out there, that's why.
There was also fog, which was, I think, just fog, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Confusing.
There's your meteorological update here on the show.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Very versatile.
That's what we do here on the program here on Robbie and Rex Road. Got a lot to get to today here on the show. Looking forward to your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Another point picked up last night by Nashville SC. They draw 0-0 against Columbus.
0-0.
Yeah, 0-0. So I just totally butchered that.
Draw 0-0.
They draw 0-0.
Clean sheet
last night in Columbus. And don't look now, in the Eastern Conference, Nashville tied for second with 23 points with Philadelphia. New England pretty squarely in first place with 30 points, and they've won 9 games. So New England pretty tough to beat in the Eastern Conference. But Philadelphia and Nashville both with 23 points, good for second place in the Eastern Conference.
Same number of games, or this is an extra game now?
They have played the same number of games.
Matches.
Yeah.
So in soccer, do you say game in hand? If not? Like, would that be a term that you could use?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there may be another term that means the same thing.
That's a soccer term. Both Philadelphia and Nashville have a game in hand on New England. So you could try to help catch up there.
If that's how it's
soccer. We're going to operate under the assumption that that's how you say it. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, like I don't actually know an alternative for game in hand. I mean, I'm sure like game in – I mean, there's other ways to say a lot of things, right?
Sure.
Let us know, soccer people.
Yes, let us know, please. Another point collected by Nashville SC. Nobody correct yesterday in NSC pick to click because they did not score. So we'll try that again coming up on Friday.
That's why, like, it's already amazing that the listeners have 3.
I know.
This certainly can happen. Yeah. And even if it doesn't happen, you're talking about...
The odds aren't great.
A goal or two.
Right.
Yeah. So...
The listeners coming out of the gate with 3 is pretty impressive.
Like, so, I'm going to hold on to my little 1 and just...
Just nurture that thing.
Yeah.
See if I can get to 1.
Head it.
We'll start with that tomorrow on NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. And the NHL expansion draft yesterday... Kind of, sort of, last night. I mean, Joe, you ended up being pretty right yesterday. We found out every single pick almost before the actual expansion draft took place, which I'm sure the executives at ESPN were just thrilled yesterday that the first NHL event they've hosted since 2004 in the Stanley Cup Final between Tampa Bay and Calgary back in 2004. The first event you host, Everybody knows what's happening like 5 hours before you ever get on the stage. That was quite something to watch yesterday, pick by pick by pick. Just come out like right after we got off the show yesterday.
Yeah. Welcome back, ESPN.
Yes.
Hope you're happy with your purchase. Yeah, I mean, I'd be mad.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN. I mean, you don't necessarily think of like an expansion draft as some big event, but you know what? They did cool stuff with it. Like it was a thing.
Chris Fowler was there.
Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah, the Carolina Panthers. No, not the Hurricanes, the Panthers. But this is the NHL's fault. This is why you don't schedule your deadline of picks to be in by like 8 hours before the event takes place on stage.
Have
the deadline be what it is and then immediately start announcing your picks. That's why you don't do that.
Well, tell me why you can't do it live. I mean, just like a draft. Like not even right before it. Like actually do it live.
That's a great question. I don't know, but
I think it'd be cool to be sitting there watching Ron Francis with people desperately trying to call him, before he gets to their pick.
I do too.
Why not?
I don't know how this continues to happen with this league. They just get in their own way. But here they are again yesterday. You got this big thing that you've built up. And it became largely useless before you ever got on air with it. Which, again, there are a couple things we're going to get to here in just a few seconds that made it absolutely worth it. Because I did watch some of it. I was interested to see what the broadcast looked like, how ESPN handled it. They've got some work to do, but it's the first event, and that's you give them a pass for that. But, if I was ESPN, I'd be furious yesterday because your first event – the large majority of hockey fans, unless you were just totally busy yesterday and off social media, you knew exactly what was happening before they ever even got there.
I would have watched all 3 hours or whatever if I didn't know. Like, I would have watched it front to back.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people could say the same thing. I did not.
Did not.
I did not.
But Nashville Predators, we knew pretty shortly after we got off the air yesterday. I would say probably about 30 minutes after we got off the air yesterday, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet came out with a report that Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, they were safe from the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft. Callie Yarncroak selected yesterday by the Seattle Kraken. So that means the Predators in the last few weeks have lost Victor Arvidsson via trade, Ryan Ellis via trade, Pekka via retirement, and now Callie Yarncroak via the expansion draft. So some pretty important departures from the Nashville Predators. And we knew that heading into the expansion draft yesterday. But then we finally got there, and the expansion draft took place. And I never thought that I would use Marshawn Lynch and Callie Yarncroak in the same sentence. But thankfully, Joe, yesterday we got to do that. Here's what it sounded like on the broadcast with ESPN, with guest host Marshawn Lynch announcing the pick from the Nashville Predators. Here's what Beast Mode had to say yesterday on the broadcast.
The Seattle Kraken select from the Nashville Predators. Marshawn, take it away.
Let's see, so with the this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Callie, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yup, Callie Yarncroak.
Callie Yarncroak.
You just heard it. Callie Yarncroak to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Callie, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
The boy, Callie, selected by the Seattle Kraken. Marshawn Lynch, in a way that only Marshawn Lynch could. The connection between Lynch and Callie Yarncroak. Joe Rexroad, I will say, and we've had some text already about this, it is a sad day. Jadeveon Rexroad, now officially gone from our listening area. Jadeveon Clowney, he's in Cleveland. Now Callie Yarncroak is in Seattle. So it's a sad day, but I will say this. If it had to end, I'm glad it ended the way that it did, with Marshawn Lynch being the one to officially exit Jadeveon Rexroad out the door.
That was amazing. Now I hope someday Callie Yarncroak is, you know, I hope the Kraken make the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And Yarncroak goes out and says, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yes.
You
know,
pay the tribute to Beast Mode. That was the boy boy Cali.
That was my favorite part. I love how he didn't even pretend to try that last name. He's like, you know what? No.
Yeah, you say
I'm going
first.
With Cali. Yeah. Well, I'll let Kevin Weeks say Yarncroak, and we'll just go from there.
That was beautiful.
Told Yarncroak to tap him in if he pronounced it wrong. So I hope this is the start of a beautiful friendship between Marshawn Lynch and Cali Yarncroak. I think it could really be the start of something special.
That would be great.
Now, as good as that moment was, I think my favorite moment, Joe, from last night, they brought Gary Payton and Sean Kemp out on stage in the Seattle expansion draft. Obviously, two legends from the Sonics back in the day in the 90s with Seattle in the NBA. And the Colorado Avalanche were on the clock, and Jonas Donskoy was about to be selected by Seattle. And Sean Kemp was put in charge of trying to pronounce that name, and it did not go well, or in my opinion, it went very well. Here's what Sean Kemp had to say, announcing Seattle's pick from the Colorado Avalanche.
Next up, the beloved Colorado Avalanche. With so much talent, they couldn't leave everybody protected. So who's going to be a new member of the Kraken and disappoint some Avalanche fans?
Oh, man, we took Jonas Donskoy.
Jonas Donskoy.
That's what we got. That's the man.
He's got right. Skills.
Yes.
Well, Donskoy is a difference-making player.
Jonas Donskoy.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness. That was amazing. Sean Kemp just totally butchering Jonas Donskoy's name. But you know what?
He tried, man.
He tried. And, look, it's a difficult name to say. I fully realize that. But those two moments last night, even though I knew what all the picks were going to be, those two moments made me watching for, I don't know, the hour that I watched last night, 100% worth it. It was amazing.
See, that's some creativity in getting those guys through. You knew it was going to be funny, entertaining. Someone tweeted at us, Kyle tweets at us, you know, one of the reasons they didn't do it, you know, you get some players there.
Sure.
But whatever, you know. I mean, they had a nice production here. This was an event. And again, when's the next time this could happen? This will be possible. Who knows? And
I think it'll be a while.
The NHL blew it.
They did. But I'll say this. Seattle's jerseys in person, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. The road jerseys out there last night, I think the road jerseys I might like even better than the home jerseys.
I agree.
But some pretty good-looking threads last night for the Seattle Kraken.
They're clean.
They're clean.
As the kids say, they're clean.
It was a sunny day in Seattle as well, so a very picturesque setting last night on ESPN for the expansion draft. And now the Predators have to move on to life without Cali Yarncroak, and we'll dive into that a little bit more coming up next. How big a deal is this loss for the Nashville Predators? How do you go about trying to replace a player like Cali Yarncroak? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That's a notifying Texas. Yeah.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the NHL expansion draft. Cali Yarncroak selected by the Seattle Kraken. And I believe that's my computer going off. It's usually Rex Road's going off, but that one's mine. That may be the first time that's happened to me in like 6 months.
I was so confused. Oh, my gosh, now I'm punching a mic.
Got him all flustered.
We're going to put this in the Radio Hall of Fame already.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we... What
so, like, in the last 2 days,
even better. Who knows?
Last 2 days, I've muted myself once, and my volume on my computer has been on as well. So I feel like your skills are rubbing off on me over here.
Yeah, bad influence. Sorry, man.
It's all good. Right now, taking your thoughts on the loss of Cali Yarncroak to the Seattle Kraken on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Keith, our buddy, texting in. This is a tough day for Keith. Keith has a statement on the passing of Jadeveon Rexcroak. It is with a heavy heart that I write to you today. Although I'm deeply saddened by the loss, I choose to celebrate the time we had together. Jadeveon is survived by Titans apologist Joe Rexrobe, Joe Rexrode, Rex or Hooley Road, Rex Jones, Gunner Road, Rex Wolf, Joe Tane, and Joannis and Rex Acoomp Road. It will not be easy, but we will get through this together. Let us all strive to live up to the example he set for us. Godspeed, Rex Croak. You will be sorely missed. In lieu of flowers, please just send the names of the morning sports talk radio host in Seattle. With love, Keith.
Beautiful,
Keith. It's an emotional day for Keith.
Very just beautiful. What was that? This is on the text line?
This is on the text line. Driven by Wilson County Hyundai.
He had one in there that I don't remember before. That's pretty fantastic.
It's a tough day for Keith. We'll see if we can get through this together with Cali Yonkrope now going to the Seattle Kraken. Joe, my question for you, I don't think this is a big surprise. We talked about the odds yesterday with Adam Vingan. They were overwhelmingly in favor of Cali Yonkrope being selected by the Seattle Kraken. When you factor this in with Arvidsson, with Ellis, with Pekka-Rinne as well, how big of a loss is this, in your opinion, with I almost called him Jadavion. With Cali Yonkrope moving on to the Seattle Kraken. How big of a loss is this? How big a deal is this for the Nashville Predators?
Yeah, it's the Gunner Road Rex Wolf Joe Tane. I had not heard. That's amazing. Here's the thing. So I had started to, as we talked about yesterday, I'd started to, maybe Bob kind of influenced me, you know, like, are you kidding? Of course they're taking Johansson.
Bob was very confident.
I'd started to embrace the idea, you know, that wouldn't be the wildest thing. You know, as it turns out, Seattle really shunned most of the proven big money players that they could have taken. They could have hit a very different roster.
Yeah.
I would argue a roster that like could have made the playoffs next year, but you know they're taking the long view. But regardless, I was thinking those terms like yeah, they really might take Johansson, and that really might be tough for the Preds actually. But then you get to Yarncroke, and I do kind of go back to Tanner Jeannot and wonder again why it went this way. Yarncroke. I mean, if this team is what it looks like it probably will be on paper, Yarncroke is one of those guys who could fetch some assets at the trading deadline, you know, for a contender. And also, he's just a guy who does everything for you at a low cost. So it's a loss. I mean, it's a loss. Again, the guy can play everywhere. He'll get you 14, 15 goals. He'll play in every special team. I mean, you know, he's one of those underrated guys, especially given his contract. Never, ever, you know, I mean, never an issue. It seemed like he was always healthy, durable. So, yeah, now that he's gone, I'm like, gosh, what are you doing?
Well, he plays everywhere for him. And you know, penalty kill, they put him on the power play. You can put him at center. You can put him on the wing. You can put him on the first line. You can put him on the fourth line. Like, he literally has played everywhere. There have been, I think, a half a game for the Predators where he played on defense. So you can put him literally everywhere if you want to. Look, you know, I like Cali Yarncroke. I think he's a good player. I really do. And I think the Predators are going to miss him. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, this is some insurmountable loss that they have or anything like that. But when you factor it all in, and we'll get to this a little bit more coming up here in just a few minutes, this lineup right now, as it sits today, is very interesting. And we'll get to that more coming up here in just a few minutes. But I do think this is a big loss, and I go back to the decision to protect Tanner Jeannot. What this kind of tells me is if you protect Yarncroke, David Poile was pretty confident that Seattle was probably going to select Tanner Jeannot. And honestly, now that I have the complete picture of how Seattle kind of picked the rest of their team, I feel like they might have taken Tanner Jeannot. I guess the question is, okay, would you rather have Tanner Jeannot on your team or would you rather have Cali Yarncroke on your team for the next few years? It's not like Yarncroke is old. Like, Yarncroke can still play. I don't think it was going to be out of the realm of possibility to sign him back to a contract. I mean, he's 29, so he's not getting any younger. He'll be 30 in September. So I realize all that. But it's not like Yarncroke's next contract is going to be, you know, breaking the bank or anything like that. So what this tells me is the Predators are just trying to get younger. They wanted to make sure they had Tanner Jeannot under control as they move forward and were willing to lose Yarncroke for that. And I still look around at this lineup and I say, okay, well, you've got Jeannot, you've got Trennan, and you've got Olivier. Those are three guys, to me, that play a very similar role. Do you really need all three of them? I don't know.
Well, Preds Facebook sighing a big sigh of relief. Yakov Trennan is...
That is true.
But, look, I agree. It's like you've got depth now at that fourth line, so you've got interchangeable. But basically that's where those three guys are gonna go, around Sissons. I think that had the Preds not protected Jeannot but had protected Yarncroke, I think Sissons would have been the choice.
Maybe.
And that would have been a loss also, but a loss of, you know, someone with longer term making more money. I think, yes, they could have re-signed Yarncroke, but again, I think that next year is setting up to be a sell year, I think. Could be wrong, but I think it is right now setting up to be a sell year, a clear sell year. And if that's the case, then Yarncroke would be nice to have. That would work out. Then you get something back as you do this competitive rebuild.
Yes.
Air quotes.
Competitive rebuild for the Nashville Predators. Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those things. In Yarncroke, I think he's one of those players where you don't quite realize what he brings to the table maybe until he's not there anymore to do it. I mean, he's not flashy. I think there are times where they have put him higher in the lineup maybe to a default. And I just, you know, he's not a top six winger in my opinion. I think he can fill in the top six for short periods of time. But on a good team, on a competing team, Cali Yarncroke probably doesn't need to be in the top six. So that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, especially at his price. Being able to have that kind of weapon and put him anywhere you need to put him, I think he's been very valuable for the Predators. And we talk about some of the bad trades that David Poile has made. That was a very good one. You get David Legwand out of here, and you brought in Cali Yarncroke, and you got a whole lot of mileage out of Cali Yarncroke. So that trade worked out very well for the Predators. It is just it is kind of strange now to look at this roster, number one, with him not being there. But number two, I mean, there are some pretty big holes now. I mean, the penalty kill, you're relying on some of these younger kids, and I'm sure Luke Cunningham will have a role in the penalty kill. I'm sure Tanner Jeannot probably going to have a role on the penalty kill as well. But that's something that Yarncroke was very, very good at. He was very good on the penalty kill, and that's going to be something where the Predators have to start to address those needs as they continue to move forward here in the offseason as well. I think this is a significant loss for the Predators. It's not a franchise-altering loss or anything like that, but I do think this is a significant loss for the Predators with Yarncroke out the door.
I mean, last, you know, six seasons, averaged almost 15 goals.
Yep.
You know, very consistent. 16, 15, 16, he had 10, 15, 13. You know, he had 13 in 49 games. Last year, he had 15 in 64 games the year before. You know, shot percentage, you know, 11.7. Really, I mean, he can put the puck in the net. Doesn't get a lot of opportunities, but like you said, then he does everything well. So, yeah, probably didn't... Even going into this draft, really appreciate like the potential loss there. And now that he's gone, it's like, man, that is a hit. And it's just obviously everything adds up to Preds are getting bigger and stronger, right?
Yep.
That's pretty obvious. But can any of those guys bump up? I mean, I know they tried that one game in the playoff series. I mean, I don't know. I kind of have my doubts about
I don't
that.
Know that it's a good idea to play Trennan, Olivier, and Jeannot all at the same time. Like, I don't know what purpose that serves. Unless one of those guys takes a big step forward offensively.
Maybe Jeannot.
And maybe it is Jeannot. Because he showed some flashes last year of some pretty good skill. Now, is that what is Jeannot taking a step forward offensively? Is that 10 goals? Is that 12 goals? I mean, is it 20? Can he be that guy? That seems to me like a pretty big jump for Tanner Jeannot.
Yeah, it seems a little lofty.
Kyle on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says someone tweeted yesterday that they, quote, are sure going to miss Yarncroke and his 3 goals in 63 playoff games. I understand that. Yarncroke not been very productive in the playoffs. You also have to get to the playoffs. And right now, with this roster, that's a pretty big question as to whether or not they're going to get to the playoffs. Yeah, again, there's still a lot left to be done.
Like Yarncroke, that's the thing, is Yarncroke, I mean, his goals have been a nice supplement, but right. He's not a top six guy, and he's never been asked to be that.
Well, the problem is he kind of has been at times.
Well, that's true. He's been everything.
Right.
But consistently, you know, that's not what he is. That's not what he's been.
Right.
It'd be interesting to see what he'll be with them.
Well, based on the lineup I saw them put out there yesterday, he might be on the first line. That was an interesting draft yesterday by Seattle. You put it, they're taking the long view.
They are very much not taking the Vegas approach.
It does not feel like it, that's for sure. When we come back, I put together a lineup yesterday with the loss of Cali Yarncroke and what the Predators lineup looks like right now. And it is interesting. It was a very polarizing topic.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5.
Robbie and Rex streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well, reacting to Cali Yarncroke being selected by the Seattle Kraken in the NHL expansion draft and what that now means for the Nashville Predators as they move forward here for the rest of this offseason. And Joe, after the news of Yarncroke being selected by Seattle came out yesterday morning at about 11 o'clock, somewhere around then, I came out with my current Predators lineup as the roster sits today. So remember, Eric Hall is not signed. Mikael Granlund does not have a contract with the Nashville Predators. So I'm not including them in this mix until when and if they have a contract with the Nashville Predators. So I realize that there's still more to be done. But I was kind of blown away by the response to the lineup I put out there. Some think that this is pretty good team. Some think this is an NHL lottery team, and there was not a whole lot of in between yesterday on Twitter. And my current Predators lineup is this. The first line, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, and Elli Tolvanen. On the second line, Luke Cunnan, Matt Duchene back at center. I've got Philip Tomasino as it stands today on the second line. On the third line, Nick Cousins, Cody Glass, who they just got in the Ryan Ellis trade, Rocco Grimaldi, who didn't play in the playoffs last year. And then on the fourth line, the herd line of Trennan, Sissons, and Janot, and you can alternate Janot or Trennan and Olivier in there as well. Defensemen, Josi and Carrier, Ekholm, Fabro, Benning and Myers, which they're both right-handed, but those are the six best guys they've got, in my opinion. They might go a different route than that, but those six are the six best they currently have, in my opinion. Obviously, Juuse Saros is the goaltender, and I have no clue who the backup goaltender is going to be at this moment. And the response to that lineup that I put out, not mad at it. This is a good lineup. The Predators are in pretty good shape. They're in much better shape than I thought. This is an NHL lottery team. Oh, my goodness, this team is going to be bad. I mean, it's all over the gamut here on the response to this lineup. I ask you, Joe Rexrode, I just read off that lineup that I've come up with as the Predators roster currently stands. Is that a playoff team? What do you think about the lineup that the Predators currently have with the loss of Pekka Rinne, Ryan Ellis, Cali Yarncroke, and Victor Arvidsson?
I would say no, that's not a playoff team. Now, is there a path to that being a playoff team? Sure. You know, there's a lot of ifs that if they all were to break the Preds' way, you know, again, Tolvanen. We've gone through a lot of these already, but Tolvanen, what is he? Is he the Tolvanen of that really nice stretch last year for a full year? Okay, there's one. Johansson, what is he? Duchene, what is he?
Those are two big ones.
Like, there's some parts of this lineup that, you know, you feel good about. Forsberg. I actually feel good about Cunnan. And like, I think he's a nice young player with some real potential. I do feel good about the coveted fourth line. The magical herd line. But I feel good about
it. It's a good fourth line.
I feel good about Josi Carrier. Feel good about Ekholm. You know, Fabro's another one of those big ifs. What is Fabro? Is he ready? And then the real big ifs. I mean, look, I agree with you that Tomasino is going to have every opportunity to make this team. All indications are very positive on Tomasino. Anybody who thinks he's coming in next year and just ready to rock as a top six forward in this league, I would give you a lot of caution.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't work out that way. It usually takes some time and some bumps and bruises. And then you got Cody Glass. There's another huge one. Look, all these things could break your way, or even if like the vast majority of them did, then I could see that being a playoff lineup. But like my first instinct is, no, that's not a playoff team. Now, you add Granlund. Okay, I feel a little bit better about it. There's still all those same questions, but Granlund has proved to be a very important player in what John Hines likes to do, and he's one of those guys who has flourished with the coaching change.
Well, and Adam Vingan coming out yesterday with a piece on The Athletic, looking ahead at the roster and what it looks like without Cali Yarncroke, and also brought up negotiations with Mikhail Granlund in that piece. And Todd Diamond, who is Granlund's agent, described the state of negotiations as being, quote, in purgatory when reached for comment on Tuesday by Vingan. So I don't really know what that means.
So were they in hell before?
I don't know.
Have they elevated from hell?
I don't know what that means. Now, again, you got to take some of these comments sometimes made by agents, especially this time of year, with a grain of salt. Because they are trying to get as much money as they possibly can for their clients. And if it's not going the way they hope, they act like the sky is falling. And then magically, I mean, this happened with Ryan Ellis too. And then magically the deal gets done and everybody walks away happy. So I don't feel all that much differently after reading those comments about Granlund's future than I did before. But until he signed, I can't put him on the roster. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility to me that Granlund walks away and is an unrestricted free agent. Because if I'm him, it's similar to Forsberg. I'm looking around saying, all right, Ryan Ellis is gone. Victor Arvidsson is gone. Cali Yarncroke, who, by the way, the players in that locker room, they love Cali Yarncroke. I mean, go out of their way to talk about Cali Yarncroke. He's gone, and now Pecorine is gone as well. This is not the same team. So that absolutely could change the way you feel about this group if you're Mikhail Granlund or if you're Philip Forsberg.
Massively different locker room.
Exactly.
Just locker room.
So I still think it's likely that they get him re-signed, but until they do, I can't include him in this discussion. So right now, like, I ask the same question with this lineup that feels like a yearly question with this group, and that is, where in the world is the offense going to come from? Like, right now, in order to be a playoff team, in my mind, with the roster as is, you are relying on Eli Tolvanen to come in and give you about 25 goals. You are relying on Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene to figure it out and get back to being 55, 60-point players. You are relying on Philip Forsberg to stay healthy and give you more than 30 goals. And you are relying on one of, maybe both, of Cody Glass and Philip Tomasino to figure it out and to be able to contribute. Otherwise, you just don't have enough offense on this team. That's the big question right now. And again, that feels like the big question every year with this group. Where is the offense going to come from? And this lineup, to me, and I know people disagree, but to me, this lineup looks very offensively challenged unless you are relying on a whole lot of things to go your way. And we've seen that over the last few years. How often in this league does everything that you need to break your way, break your way? Not very often.
Right. Now, I would add to everything you said, you know, Cunnan. Can Cunnan come in and, you know, kind of replace like Craig Smith's production? I mean, you could look at it, you know, you could look at that. You could divvy that up whoever you want. But I mean, like, he's important. And I think signing Eric Halla would also be a good thing. I mean, you know, depth scoring, how much can that sort of compensate for not having the real muscle in the top six? Some. But at some point, yeah, Tolvanen, is he ready to really break out? Is Tomasino ready to produce? I mean, that's one of the biggest, to me, the biggest ifs that I have a hard time right now believing that he's going to come in. I don't have a hard time believing he'll make the roster, but that you're going to be able to rely on him that heavily that early. Just doesn't often go that way at all.
Well, I'll say this. I think Philip Tomasino right now
is more ready for the NHL than Ellie Tolvanen was early in his career. I don't think it's all that close. Like, I think Philip Tomasino, other than the shot, is way more naturally gifted than Ellie Tolvanen is. I mean, Ellie Tolvanen, he's not a great skater. He's not overly physical. He's not a great athlete. He's got a great shot, and that's served him well, and that can serve you well for a long time at the NHL level. Philip Tomasino is a pretty good athlete. He is a great skater, and he is a great playmaker. I think he is more NHL-ready right now, but to your point, how often do you see a 20-year-old come in and really make a giant impact with a team? It's very rare in this league.
The absolute studs do. Right. So, but good point. I mean, because Tolvanen obviously has taken a long time to get to the point where that shot can be utilized, though some believe Forsberg's the floor. But,
yes.
I mean, Tolvanen, I liked a lot of what we saw from him last year before he got hurt. So, it's, you know, another thing with this is, you're right, absolutely. I mean, Johansson and Duchesne, who, by the way, have both been told, we'd like to get rid of you. Now, come back and, you know. But, you know, what you hope if you're David Poile and the Preds is they're angry and use that productively, you know. Yeah. But if Granlund does, if you do sign him, which, again, I just think is essential, if we really want to start talking about this being a playoff team, I think that's an essential development. And if that happens, then you can, looking at your lineup, you can take Duchesne, you can move him up.
Yep.
With Forsberg Johansson and give that a role and hope that, you know, some real nice glimpses against Carolina can become a steady thing. Granlund, Cunning, Tolvanen?
That would be, yeah, what I would guess.
But the thing with that is, as you said during the break, are you good with Glass and Tomasino being together like on a third line?
Like the two young guys.
You might want to mix that up.
Now, if you are.
I don't know how you mix it up.
And the other part of this, you know, Rocco Grimaldi, and I'll be honest with you, it kind of feels like the writing's on the wall for Rocco Grimaldi based on a lot of different things. He didn't get in the playoffs. He's really small, and the Predators have made it pretty clear they're trying to get bigger and they're trying to get stronger. You know, Adam Vingan was on with us a few weeks ago, talked about Grimaldi and his defensive numbers. They're not good, and they're not only are they not good, they're pretty bad defensively. He's not been a good player defensively, especially last year. Is the writing kind of on the wall for him? Is that a potential candidate to get moved before the end of this offseason? I think it is. I think we could see Grimaldi get traded. And if that happens, like, who's playing on the third line down there? Like, it's just, again, where is the scoring going to come from with this group? That is a gigantic question.
I feel like the Preds are getting rid of all the little guys.
Yeah.
All the little guys.
You're out.
They're endangered on this roster now.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators roster as is. Is this team a playoff team as the roster currently stands? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Reacting to Cali Yarncroke being selected by the Seattle Kraken, I've thrown out my lineup for the Predators as the roster currently stands. Forsberg, Johansson, Tolvanen on the first line, Cunning, Duchesne, Tomasino on line two, Cousins, Cody Glass, and Rocco Grimaldi line three, and Trennan, Sissons, and Jeannot on the fourth line. Defensemen Josi and Carrier, Ekholm and Fabro, Benning and Myers with UC Saros in goal. Taking your thoughts on the text line, got a texter that says, I feel pretty good overall about the lineup you presented. Obviously, shaky players like Duchesne and Johansson leave a lot of questions, and we honestly played better last year when Duchesne was injured, and the young guys were in there. It might be painful, but maybe going with young guns is the way to go. Well, they're at least going partially with some young guns.
So is this a suggestion to scratch Duchesne?
Probably.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
The lineup, relatively speaking, is pretty young. Tolvanen, Cunning, Tomasino, Glass, Sissons, Trennan, Jeannot.
That's 6 year forwards that are pretty young right there. So that's a pretty young forward group. Like I don't how young do people want to get would be my question. Like that's pretty young right there.
Well,
you can't have everybody be 22 years old.
Right. No, I mean, I understand from a fan perspective, like you were excited to see Tomasino.
Sure.
You have high hopes for Tolvin and, you know, Cunning is younger. I mean, I think that's good. I mean, a lot of the story will be told by the older guys, though, because even if everything works out well for you, you know, for the most part, with the young guys, like Tomasino comes in, he's ready and he's productive. And so on and so forth. All the guys we've gone through, like if Duchesne and Johansson aren't better, I
doesn't mean a whole lot.
And I would not sit here and say there's no way they could be better. I don't think that there's no path to that.
They got to be a lot better.
It's just 2 years in a row with different kinds of issues for both. Really, just bottom line is just production for Duchesne. And then for Johansson, you know, it's just the inconsistency and the – I mean, look, the fact that he rises up in the postseason, if they get there next year, you'd feel good about that. But they got to get there.
Right. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike texting in, sign Ovechkin from the Capitals. Yes, he's older, but remember he's trying to pass Gretzky's scoring record, which equals goals for the Predators for the next 2 to 3 seasons. They're not signing.
Done.
They're not signing Alex Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin's not going anywhere. He will be in Washington. I know that he is technically an unrestricted free agent. I can promise you. Can't promise you. I would be shocked if July 28th doesn't roll around the first day of free agency and he's not back there.
What's his deal going to look like, this deal?
That's a good question. I mean, how old is he now? He's got to be 34, 35. He is 35 years old. He will be 36 in September. You know, He's pretty good goal scorer.
He still puts it in the back of the net.
Still puts it in the back of the net. I mean, you know, it's not quite to the same level. I mean, he had 51 goals 2 years ago, 48 two seasons ago, and then last year, obviously 24, but it was 24 in 45 games. So that's still a pretty good clip. I would guess in an 82-game season now, he's still 40, 45 goals. It's still pretty good. So I don't know. My guess is he's probably hovering somewhere at his age, somewhere around 8, 8.5, about 9.
Still making 8? Yeah. Okay.
Would be my guess.
20 years from now, when people, because obviously Ovechkin and Crosby,
yep.
It was Ovechkin and Crosby coming in the league. 20 years from now, we don't know how everything's going to turn out. But let's say there's no more rings either way, but Ovechkin keeps piling those numbers up. How are people going to compare those two?
I think Crosby is pretty clearly the better player. I think Ovechkin, with Gretzky included, might be the greatest goal scorer of all time, just based purely on his shot, his ability to put it in the back of the net. I think Ovechkin, from a goal scoring perspective, may be the greatest of all time. Crosby, I think, is a better player. And those, I know some people hear that like, well,
if you're the greatest goal scorer, then why aren't you the better player?
There's a lot more to the game than that. But yeah. I think Crosby pretty clearly is the better player.
Well, he does way more.
Ovechkin is pretty good, though.
Boy, with that skill, which is a very valuable skill.
It is a very valuable skill. I mean, he could play. That's the thing about Ovechkin. He's pretty durable. You know, he's 6'3", 235. He's a huge guy. And he just rocks people. So his foot speed, you can already tell, it's gone down a little bit. But with the shot on the power play, I mean, it's no secret where he's going to be on the power play. He's in the left circle. And he scored, and he's got 730 career goals. He's probably scored 250 of them from that same spot. So you know where he's going to be. Like, that to me is a skill that it doesn't really go away all that much. Like, he could play until he was 40, 41, 42 if he really wanted to, I think, just with that skill alone.
Right.
He's not going to be the same guy. But if you told me that Alex Ovechkin was playing like 9.5 minutes a night at the age of 41 and he still put up 25 goals in the season, I'd be like, yeah,
just
sounds about right.
Yeah, just don't go out. Not many shifts. Go out for the power play.
Yeah. But let me tell you this. He's not going to be here. He's not going to be here.
Nice thought, though.
Murph on Twitter says, dude forgets if we did get Ovi, he would immediately go down 50 to 60% in production because we would still make sure the defensemen get all the shots.
Well, here's the thing. You know, that's the thing about that, it's interesting that that's brought up because I've read a couple pieces, I think all on The Athletic, but from different writers, and that has been mentioned in some way recently. It's almost like a foregone conclusion. Like, forwards go to Nashville, and their production goes down. You don't want that to be, like, your reputation as a franchise.
I mean, no, but think about it.
As you look for free agents in the future,
right?
Like, you don't want that to be, and of course we're talking about different coaching staffs too, so it doesn't really add up,
right?
But it is weird, and it's talked about.
Well, even a guy like Johansson, who again has had some pretty stellar years here. I mean, when they first got him, 61 points, 54 points, 64 points, which included a 50 assist season, which if he got back to that, be great for the Nashville Predators. He's had some very good seasons here. Even with that included, he still has not been offensively as productive point-wise as he was for 2 years in Columbus. He had 33 goals 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, can you think about Ryan Johansson scored 33 goals?
That's the thing. I almost just discount that because that's not how he played. I don't understand how he had 30-plus goals a season the way he plays. I mean, I like the way he plays.
Yeah.
But that 50, those 50 assists, how many of them were to the blur at that time known as Victor Arvidsson?
Substantial amount. And that was the same year that Arvidsson set the goal scoring record.
Right. No coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, it's right there for him. I mean, but you're right. Like, even Granlund, when he first got here.
Oh, it was
the first year and a half, he just totally disappeared.
Right.
Now, it's gotten obviously a lot better under John Hines. But that's a problem. Forwards coming here and not being quite as good. And to your point, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they've had different coaching staffs that have been here for it.
I mean, the pink and blue blobs were just condemning Peter Laviolette as a guy who shouldn't be allowed to ever coach again, according to some geniuses.
Right.
But he's gone now, so what's the answer there?
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, sometimes analytics get a little bit overblown in hockey too. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're very important. And they can tell you a lot of things.
They're important, especially, I think, in hockey. But they can also be.
They are not the be-all, end-all that some make them out to be.
Watch the game.
Watch the game. Things happen sometimes out there.
But it is weird that this is a thing.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know. I'd love to hear the explanation. I haven't heard a good one yet.
Mike texting back in. David Poile loves to make deals with the Capitals. And it's true. He does. I don't think this is a deal that's going to be made. Ovechkin's made it pretty clear he wants to finish his career there, and Washington is not letting Alex Ovechkin get out the door. So, that's your plan. Now, I will say, there
would want to leave Lavi.
Yeah, who would want to leave Peter Laviolette? There was rumors about 10 years ago that maybe the Predators could be in on Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
I remember that.
Yeah, didn't work out.
Sorry.
What could have been?
That's a pretty funny text, though.
Yeah, David Poile.
No, 50% to 60% down immediately. You don't want this to be your rep.
You do not. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators throughout the show today on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we will switch gears and talk a little SEC. Chase McCabe, our very own Chase McCabe, caught up yesterday with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. A very interesting interview. We'll have that coming your way. Up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest. Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.